You're joining the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And our guest is Guy Asherman. That was stereo Guy Asherman. I was working backup.
I wonder which voice they thought was mine.
I know. So if you missed the first hour, you should catch us on the archive. And the archives are free. And it's interesting. I had somebody else send me a link to a radio program that I didn't have time to listen to during the day. And I thought, oh, I'll just go listen, you know, later on. I guess they have to pay for their archives, or they have it set up so it has a paywall. Hmm. We don't have a paywall.
Free truth is free.
Exactly. Yep. We did this to educate, you know, and, mm-hmm. and well, sometimes, you know, entertain. It's a little bit of entertainment, a little free entertainment. That's Bob's department. The music's always fun. But we've got shows dating back into 2010. Lots of topics, pretty much anything you'd ever like. And if you have an idea, if you look through it and you go, well, hey, they never did any shows about this, that, or the other thing, mm-hmm. shoot us an email,
give us a call,
make a phone call.
7 years ago,
100 years ago, you should have said. If you have comments or suggestions or whatever, you can email us or call us, and all that information is on the site at wethepeopleradio.us. Mm-hmm. Everything's in MP3 format, so you can send it to a friend. Very easy. Mm-hmm. Download it and listen to it while you cut your grass, but, you know, make sure you have that rearview mirror on your glasses so you can watch for your neighbor. Make sure you post a lookout. I don't know.
Yeah, because they might not like your landscaping.
I'll never think of grass mowing again. I mean, he's forever.
Just send your wife out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Make your kids do it. Another good reason to have your kids mow the lawn. I don't know.
Sorry, honey. I know you're listening.
Exactly.
But I'll be on the roof watching out for you.
It's a sniper. Oh, my gosh. So I changed the title of our show. I didn't know what we were going to talk about. We never know. With Guy, we never plan it out because it's just not fun that way. It's just too much pressure. So I put a new title on here, Rediscovering Our Foundations.
Yeah, good.
That seemed more like it.
Yes.
And honestly, that's why we feel like we're standing in shifting sand mm-hmm. as a society. And I think there are a lot of us, though, that really actually know where we stand. But a lot of them are being quiet.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think about that?
They're getting shouted down.
Yeah. I realize it's a self-preservation.
Let me share a verse with you that kind of highlights this.
Oh, look at that. It's like we practiced.
Yeah. This is from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 14 and 15. This is what the Lord says. And this also tells us that these issues are timeless. Human nature has been what it is forever. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It says, the Lord speaking, justice is turned back, righteousness stands afar off, truth is fallen in the street, and equity or fairness cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And that's why so many people today don't come out and mm-hmm. speak out, because they make themselves, they will be preyed upon by others who are so full of hate and malice. And but the last election proved that even though polls were not leaning in the direction of conservatives, the people out there do have that right to speak with their vote. And I hope they keep doing it.
Yeah.
Well we were kind of laughing about that. The polling all said, you know, Hillary was going to sweep it. And what they discovered after the fact was people said, oh, yeah, no, I'm not voting for him. Totally voting for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of folks. Well, obviously, there were a lot of folks that either said they weren't going to vote or mm-hmm. weren't going to vote for him or hadn't made up their mind. Well, they had made up their mind, mm-hmm. but they didn't want that public mm-hmm. Debate or ridicule or whatever you want to call it. They didn't want to go there, so just quietly mm-hmm. they cast their vote. And I think there's more people out there than I think the general public mm-hmm. would lead you to believe that think the same way, mm-hmm. that know we're in quicksand right now, and we've got to get things turned around, or we're going to be in mm-hmm. we are in serious trouble.
But the danger is that we mentally allow ourselves to feel beaten.
Yes,
I always think about, you know, driving. Now let's forget about all the people that are bad drivers. Let's mm-hmm. just think about driving in general. Everything about how our system of roads works depends on everybody doing the right thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know,
following the rules.
There aren't always barriers between the two lanes. I mean, if people really didn't follow the rules, they'd all be crashing into each other. They'd be changing lanes on top of each other, and mm-hmm. those things happen, but not you know, not all the time, not every day. You're not really necessarily taking your life in your
hands. The system works when everybody follows the rules.
But so everybody's basically in agreement the way the world works, although people are a little weak sometimes on what the laws are.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we all live basically the same way. You know, whether I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative, I get up in the mornings, I put my pants on the same way, I drive my car to work, I try to get a paycheck, I try to take care of my family. And so we all live by those same principles. But the rhetoric that is so strong.
Yeah, you would think we had two different civilizations going on at the exact same time.
But the thing of it is that the rhetoric that the liberals espouse and repeat and champion is not how they live either. They live by conservative ideas. They live by capitalistic ideas. I love it when Hollywood stars get down on capitalism, and they make billions in a capitalistic enterprise called movie making. You know, it's just they don't live the way they say we're supposed
to. But there's also, I think, a pretty strong voice out there that is becoming more united of the people that live on the backs of the government. And you know, we talked a little earlier about government handouts and how do you get people back that have lived that way for so long. There's a lot of folks out there that are protecting what they have, and they, I think, in their heart of hearts, they know that the direction we're going is wrong, but they've got theirs. And let everybody else worry about how to fix it, but don't take mine away. Don't build it in my backyard. Yeah. There's a lot of that mentality out there that we've got to turn that around and I don't know, give people hope that they can make it on their own.
Well,
that the system will work for them as well.
Yeah, and I mean specifically to that point. Living on Social Security disability or something of that ilk. I mean, now apparently I did meet a girl who is on Social Security disability because she has ADD or something. And I thought, wow, are you kidding me? So you just graduated from high school and you have now relinquished all earning potential going forward for the rest of your life. You're not even going to try. She was excited because she had this guaranteed income. And I thought, you have any idea how not far that's going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't going to carry you.
Yeah, how far ahead you're going to go in your life.
You literally just decided what your potential in life is going to be.
Yeah, you capped yourself.
And that was okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, we got to get out of that. And,
you know, Bill, you had said, how do we turn that around? I think, number one, you can't take it away from them because you're going to create a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you do is you freeze it. So that however many dollars they're getting remains the same for the next 50 years, and it becomes, by virtue of inflation, it becomes less and less and less and less, so that eventually they realize, I can't make it like this. I better go get a job. I think if we say we're going to turn off the faucet, we can't.
You can't.
No, you no.
You can't do that. Because,
but I do think that,
frankly, a lot of these folks have put themselves in a position where they are unemployable. I mean, they didn't keep up with current trends, current technology, whatever. And to go back out into the job market right now, they're not employable. I mean, it's going to take.
And I get it. There are a lot of people that are against their will, trapped in that system.
There are people who are
through no fault of their own. Absolutely.
Right. Well, there's always going to be folks.
And we're not opposed to that. We want to help people who genuinely need
it. But can you imagine how much we could help those folks if we didn't have the other people who voluntarily laid down and decided to be carried?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
would free up a lot of funds.
It would free up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And it just is sad to me, though, that seems okay. That's a goal.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, to just decide, I'm never going to do better than this. This is it forever.
Well, let's hope that the economy and the system does really turn around the way we're hoping that it does with tax breaks and all of that, that actually some really lucrative jobs become available for folks such as that. Because, you know, we don't manufacture anything anymore.
Right.
So where's the guy who would have had a great job on an assembly line somewhere making pretty decent money? He didn't have a job anymore.
Right.
I was so confused, but not, maybe, when they, in New York City, the protesters were protesting a tax cut. when President Trump was speaking there. Was that yesterday or the day before? Protesters on the street protesting a tax cut. That's insane.
Well, yeah. I think their argument was it was a tax cut for the rich. It was a tax cut for the corporations. Not looking at the big picture that if corporations are freed up from
but they don't believe that
on their neck, they mm-hmm. can hire more people. Right. You know what? They're going to make more money.
And but there's such a fundamental disconnect on capitalism. They don't even realize that that's the incentive to hire more people.
Exactly. Yeah. Those corporations have to make more money, and they'll hire more people and make more money.
But they don't believe that.
And the bottom 40% of wage earners in this country don't pay taxes anyway.
I think it's actually 50.
Is it 50?
Yeah.
And so they're out there protesting that it's not a tax cut for the poor. Well, the poor don't pay taxes.
Well, and the other part is they're mad because I read this whole big long article. I get email from, we'll call it opposition research. How's that? And this whole big long article was this diatribe about how the new tax bill is going to hurt the poor because they're not, some of them aren't going to be eligible. These were illegal aliens who did not work and they weren't going to be eligible to get paid for having children. Mm. So they were never going to pay anything in. But there was a question mark on the new bill as to whether or not they would actually receive this payout from federal tax that they never put money into. And I thought, have we gone completely nuts that somebody would actually publicly, from an organization, take a stand that that's hurting the poor, that they can't get more free money? And so I was having this discussion with someone the other day, and they said, well, you know, those other people have way too much. And I said, oh, really?
There you go.
So at what point do they have too much, and who decides that? I mean, if you do well, then are we entitled to come to you and say it's time for you to cough it up? And yet people don't feel like they have as much as the rich people, so it's time to take it. And I thought, man, Marxism's alive and well. Mm-hmm. We will. Do you have any good Marxism quotes?
Well, Lenin, Marx, same thing.
Yeah, it's all the same. Part and parcel. We will be right back. We are here chatting with Guy Asherman from the Higher Ground Counseling Center. Watch me do it. I'm cured. He cured me. Look at that. This guy's amazing.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
And do we have a lot of wayward sons, huh?
Yes, we do. And I'm one of them.
We all are.
Yes, we are.
To a point. Mm-hmm. Unless we coalesce, and then it feels like we're all going the same direction. Like today, see right here in this one small room? We're all on the same page.
I don't believe in relativism on a spiritual level. I think we're all in the same boat, and it's the Titanic. And we need to be spiritually rescued. I was thinking maybe we've been talking collectively about some of these issues of being able to, and I have a couple more I want to share. Just to make the point. But those are the same principles that are important for our foundations as individuals. And then psychological health comes from having foundations. So if that's okay with you guys, I'd kind of like to move in that direction a little bit. Okay, so a couple of more quotes from the collective thinking of socialism. This is Lenin. And boy, this is a prophetic statement, okay? This is, Bill, you said earlier about the things that they said have all come to pass in this country, you know. He says, quote, if we can effectively kill the national pride and patriotism of just one generation, we will have won that country. Therefore, there must be continued propaganda abroad. My computer's giving me problems. Continued propaganda abroad to undermine the loyalty of citizens in general and teenagers in particular by making drugs of various kinds readily available, by creating the necessary attitude of chaos idleness and worthlessness, and by preparing him psychologically and politically, we will succeed. That's Lenin.
Wow.
And when was that?
Well, he was 1917 to 1924.
Right, so, I just wondered where we were in history at that point with him.
Probably around 1920.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he says, we can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us. We're doing that too.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sowing hate and scorn towards people who disagree. And so it's a product of human nature, but it's also a product of design by people that we really don't want designing anything in this country. So anyway, the fact that we as a country need foundations collectively, we need common values. We need those things that hold us together. We also need those individually. Mm-hmm. As individuals, and now this is, again, getting kind of back to the psychological piece because it applies to each and every one of us, that the same difficulties that we're having collectively, we're also having individually because we're not sure what we believe. I'm not sure what my values are. I'm not sure, is there a God? I'm not sure, are there absolutes? Are there foundations, or is my life built on sand, too? And if I'm living my life on sand, it is a horrible, scary feeling because you never know when a wave's going to just take you out, right? So it's important for us as people, as individuals, for our own psychological health to have a great conversation about what are my values. I suggest people write them down.
Mm-hmm.
And where did your values come from?
Yeah, because I think it's one thing to know what your values aren't. And it's easy to rail against that,
mm-hmm.
but what are your values?
Right.
That's a great point.
And I think that our health is much greater when we are living for the values that we are for instead of living for the values that we are against. Because
right.
then I'm a cynic. I'm a critic. I'm
sure.
negative. I'm against everything. I'm against everybody. And then for the values that I do stand for, they don't even come through the message
right.
because I'm so busy attacking.
Well, that's the guy who wouldn't believe me that there was no $4,000 that they hadn't lowered the standard deduction to $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why did you call me?
Yeah.
If what I'm telling you, if you're telling me, well, I don't believe you, well, why didn't you call somebody else?
Yeah.
So he was such a cynic
right.
that even in the face of fact, he still didn't have anything to stand on to weigh that.
But I think
for truth. And I thought, man, that's got to be kind of scary.
Yeah. I think that would be a great exercise, though, is just
write down
what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And then how different is that from what you see happening today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting too. It's a good our opening talking about all this sexual harassment, you know, real, perceived, and in between
mm-hmm.
is a great exercise in what you believe in a way, because mm-hmm. so many people have put their I don't know if they meant to, but they've put their faith in famous people.
Yes, and they're all falling.
And all of a sudden, whoops, hey, famous people are, inconvenient, they're people.
So what is that one absolute in our life that never falls?
Right.
Because everything else can and does.
But then I suppose I can hear the person in the background who's saying, well, if you believe that God's in charge of everything, then how do you explain war, and how do you explain the bad behavior of these other people,
mm-hmm.
and...
Well,
no, he's not doing it either.
Well, you know, we love to blame God for the choices that we make.
Exactly.
We're the ones who create war. We're the ones who make bad things happen. And
but God always gets blamed.
He always gets blamed, but he also gave us a free will. You know, he also said, you know, here's my recommendations. I think you should live this way.
I have 10 big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if they don't, then... you know, he lets them do that. He doesn't force any of us. He wants us to turn in our heart. And, and Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And with those kinds of words, I think it's important for us in the midst of all of the chaos that we as individuals still experience peace. So the world's a mess doesn't mean I have to be a mess. And,
yeah.
And this gets back to those values that we mentioned a minute ago. What's important to me, apart from everything that we've talked about on this program, basically is beyond Bill, Aaron, or my control. Mm-hmm. Right? We can't control those things.
Yeah.
We can get on the radio and we can do this, right? But it's outside of our control. What are the things that are inside my control that make my life better and give me a sense of peace and joy? And I think that that is found by setting my feet upon the rock.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a foundation, there are absolute truths, and maybe I've got five or six of those basic truths that say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to sink.
Right. I'm going to live by those truths.
And that's noble. Otherwise, we're just sticking our finger in the air, and whatever which way the wind is blowing,
yeah.
Well, that's my truth now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a conviction.
But see, and most people do adhere to the general... You know, if you look at the list, you know, thou shalt not kill and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people didn't all basically agree to that, we'd have a lot more killing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, we'd have a lot more killing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who obviously spin out of control on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bulk of people have all accepted,
right.
You know, good principles and
yeah.
live on those good principles, which is why they're all on their side of the road. And we just,
right.
the place isn't just a bumper car show every day
mm-hmm.
and everybody getting killed. I mean, most people are pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I would argue that they're operating on the basis of their own best self-interest.
And then there's that,
you
yeah.
know, and mm-hmm. so, I mean, it's my self-interest to stay on the right side of the road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's not that I'm living by principle necessarily.
No.
You know.
But they've, you know, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. You know, most people aren't out there to hurt
yeah.
everyone,
right.
I guess.
And I agree completely because I have that thought oftentimes when I'm sitting at a red light. And it's a long red light.
Yes.
And there's no other traffic on the road. And I'm going, you know,
I'm going.
There's no, you know, no cameras. There's no police anywhere. But I still don't.
As far as you know.
I still don't.
And that keeps us honest, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know we have a left-hand turn lane right by the house, and it's like, okay, that's it. It's funny, I came into the left-hand turn lane the other night, and there was a guy who was, like, way out into the little slashy lines and up into the crosswalk, because he obviously is coming, it's coming, it's coming. He was, like, rolling. Kevin, it's not. All right, it's not coming, and I'm just going to sit here. And it was just the two of us on the road. There was no
yeah.
one around.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Stay in your lane.
It's true, though. There's a lot of that. And I guess when it seems like the world's gone mad, I always sort of look around and I think, well, really has it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
sure,
I agree,
we highlight all the hysteria, but...
But we are setting ourselves up.
Oh, but as a society,
yes.
I think in general, we're kind
yes,
of going the wrong
we
direction.
We really are. We're
yeah.
sending so many mixed messages
yes, sir,
out
I don't
there
mean to
that,
discount that.
And how is that impacting me as an individual? With all the things that are happening collectively, what is it doing to my mental health?
I think it makes you negative.
It makes me negative.
Yeah.
I don't have the freedom to go start my own business. There's so many rules and regulations
oh, yeah.
that it's just
mm-hmm.
impossible. Or I have to have an EPA study before I can even farm my own ground.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it deprives us of a sense of accomplishment. It deprives us of a sense of self-respect. And those two things are incredibly important for our mental health, our mental well-being.
That whole pursuit of happiness?
Yes.
It's
yeah.
more like the resignation to what we can get. It's not a pursuit of happiness. Pursuit
yeah.
implies, like, momentum.
The interesting thing is that in an entitlement society, that is as much as people are getting gratis, the angrier and the angrier we are getting. And so why is it that people are getting angry when they're getting their needs met? Because I think they're being deprived of self-respect.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And we're hurting them. We're not helping
well,
them.
Well, I mean, who would have ever thought in the world that people who are quote-unquote poor would all have cell phones?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, you know, you kind of look at what happens, and yes, there are people who are way below that and who are really struggling. I'm not going to minimize that. But mm-hmm. still, in general, mm-hmm. the folks that...
Well, it's not only that. They'd rather have a cell phone than a house.
Yeah.
They would rather be homeless than have their cell phone, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be, yeah. you know, if you're gonna not be making it, don't
no,
make
you,
it in this country, because this,
yeah.
you can do okay.
You can go through the poorest parts of any city And you can go to third world countries where people have shanty towns.
Yep.
They don't even have hinges on the door, and they have a satellite dish. Mm-hmm. I saw that in Africa. And it's just amazing to
me.
That is mind-blowing.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So that's especially how they want to live.
Especially when sometimes they won't put them on our roofs of our houses here. Because it's not the right spot. You can put them on a cardboard house?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Quick break?
Quick break.
Huh? Seems like we always have a quick break. We have a lot of quick breaks around here.
Time flies.
Exactly.
Time flies when you talk about important stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Bob keeps pointing at me. He wants me to start talking. I'm like, but I was listening to the song.
It's a great song.
That was a great song.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That sticks. Two hit songs, same name, completely different songs. Peter Frampton, Show Me the Way, and Show Me the Way from Styx there.
So what was that, 70s? Early
80s? No, that was actually 1990. That was kind of their comeback song.
Great song.
Yeah.
Perfect for today.
Show Me the Way. Yeah.
That's okay. Should I change the name of the show again? We keep coming up with new names. Okay, so the five
psychological needs.
Five psychological needs.
All of us have psychological needs, and you know, and I don't mean it to be a self-centered thing. I think we have to die to self and live to something bigger than ourselves. Okay, I think all of us need to be a part of something bigger than us. Otherwise, it's a huge disappointment. What am I doing here?
Sure. Right? But so, if you're not personally healthy.
Right. But I need some affirmation from something bigger than me. And the five psychological needs are love. We were created to receive it and to give it. Okay. From a creation standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Love, security, belonging. I think we need to belong to something bigger than ourselves, usually a cause or a purpose. Mm-hmm. Achievement. We have a fundamental need to be achieving something in our life. And the last one is some degree of recognition for that achievement. So in a system that stifles achievement and recognition and thinks of us only as a collective instead of as individuals, we lose our psychological health. We are healthiest as individuals when we have the freedom to be able to exercise our gifts in a free society. And that's why our psychological health is not the best in this country right now, because we keep beating people down with regs, with rules, you know, mm-hmm. and saying, no, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. You know.
And a lot of the belonging, especially in today's climate, is based on negativity. we all hate together.
Yes, it is true.
Therefore, we are companions on the road. It's like,
well, and then when you are successful, when you do achieve some level of success, you're ridiculed for it, and people mm-hmm. want to take it away. It's like you didn't.
You owe everyone. Yeah, you owe that to everyone because you didn't do it.
Yeah, you didn't earn that. You earned that on the backs of somebody else, and that's a dangerous road to go down.
But even if you leap over the person who has created, you look at the folks that think $15 an hour as a minimum wage is going to solve everyone's problem. Mm-hmm. And you look at where that's gone. Mm-hmm. That's gone to automation.
Send half of them to the unemployment line.
Exactly. Yeah, it's gone to automation. But the other thing too is that it makes the cost of everything go up. So they still can't get it.
Yeah.
So they climb the mountain as in their mind. They get there, but the price of everything has had to go up in order to support that wage. So they still can't afford. And for some reason, we're not connecting the dots there. Where's logic in all this? Yeah. Where is it gone? Do you have any?
Well, I think social media enables all of this. The hate and the dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Because that's where they can not only express their outrage, but they're aware of things they wouldn't be aware of otherwise.
Yeah, and that's true.
That's the downside of social media. I think it's made us all insane.
Yeah, it has.
Made us all insane.
Yeah. So on the individual level, you were asking a question, and I was wanting to come back to the individual.
No, it's okay.
Oh, I know what I was going to say, and that is that these things are so important to us.
Yeah.
That if I am unemployed, one of the healthiest things that I can do is go volunteer somewhere. Go do something. Mm-hmm. Be contributing in some capacity. I don't care if you're picking up garbage alongside the road. Do something so that you know you're a part of something bigger than you, and you're not just taking, you're also giving back. People are healthiest when they work. And I know that there's listeners right now who probably can't get work, and my heart goes out to them because I know what it does to us in our heart.
Yeah.
What it does to us in our mind.
I was speaking with a guy on Friday. Actually, he's a veteran and always has worked and been really productive, and he's had health things. So now, and he's not that old, you know. I mean, he's in his 60s, early 60s, but not
just a kid.
Not that old, right? Mm-hmm. Getting younger every day, as a matter of fact. But he's now in a wheelchair, and we won't say who messed up the surgery, the VA. Messed up surgery on his hand, so now he's got kind of his hand is like a claw. Mm-hmm. So, and now he has no money, right? Mm-hmm. He bought a manufactured house, but when they inspected the roof, they didn't bother to tell him that the roof should have been replaced 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so now he has to pay $10,000 to re-roof. So all these things have come, and he goes, he just said, I'm just so discouraged.
Yeah, he's beat down. Yeah,
I've never been unable to take care of myself.
Right.
He said, and I'm super isolated. Mm-hmm. And I thought,
it's an awful
that
existence.
Is just the worst. And what do you do? Mm-hmm. Right? There's no magic bullet for that. But
well, we help him as best we can.
Right.
Under those situations and circumstances.
But he was exactly all those things you said. Mm-hmm. Missing all those things one by one. They all got clicked off.
Right.
And they're all super necessary.
Sure.
Super necessary. So now we're training people to grow up and be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grow up with no, you know, I mean, you have an education on paper, but your degree is in lesbian studies, so you can't parlay that into a job.
Mm-hmm.
So now you think you have the tools, but the tools don't really do anything.
And you're mad at the system for not giving you a job because they're all
bigots. And you have a student loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a student loan you get to labor under. And so, I don't know, that set up to fail thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all of this social engineering that's going on. I think if you let people operate under their own best interests, good things come from a free market economy. And anytime you get people in there with their own ideas of trying to stir it up, and they come from the academic and political community, they have these ideals that don't work, and yet they're forcing them on us. You know,
isn't that bizarre, though, that somehow we've gotten to a point where, you know, work is not...
It's noble.
Funny.
It's not
noble. Remember back in the day, work was sort of who you were a little bit. And okay, I could see how that could become unhealthy at some level, but... Now
there was always, I mean, people, whether they want to admit it or not, there was always a little bit of pride in what you achieved mm-hmm. through your job. You know, you were able to buy a house, and, you know, you raised your family, you put your kids through school, but mm-hmm. you did that on your own back. You know, you hunkered down and got it done, and there was a sense of pride and fulfillment in that. Yeah. That,
but there was also opportunities. And mm-hmm. I do think an awful lot of people today are lacking the opportunities.
Yes.
Because we haven't given the private sector opportunity to release them to
True.
Give those folks jobs and
right.
opportunities.
Oh, and I totally agree with that. I mean, how many businesses are closing, and especially in California, leaving California, mm-hmm. because they're just, at the end of the day, it's like, all right, I just can't make it fly here.
Right. But I think the other side of that is we still have opportunities out there, but you have to be willing to accept maybe something that is a little yes. less than what you had your heart set on.
Absolutely.
And work your way into something.
Yeah, that kind of
better.
That kind of has gone out of vogue.
Yeah, everybody
working
wants,
your way up.
Yeah, everybody wants to kind of start at the top. You know,
they want to have the same lifestyle their parents have.
Right.
When they've been working on it for 30 years.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I really believe that. I mean, there's jobs out there. They may not be the job you want, mm-hmm. but it'll get you in the marketplace. And at that point, you can kind of start moving around and moving up. But when you get out of school with a big degree and a big student loan and you've got to make $30 an hour to make it pay, you're starting at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. But that's a choice you made.
Well, it's interesting, though, because you were looking for someone at work, you know, to work in the parts department. And every day Bill would come home, he goes, okay, I had some people come in today. Mm-hmm. One came in with her boyfriend. No pen, no resume. It's like
just totally unprepared.
Strike.
Yeah, no, no training on even how to look for a job. I mean, that was all stuff that we kind of learned in school, mm-hmm. and today.
But it's I mean, dare we say the words common sense?
Yeah, not anymore.
You know, bringing a pen mm-hmm. to a job interview mm-hmm. now is something where we require instruction.
Well, for crying out loud, who's going to walk into a job interview without a resume?
Well, then there's that.
You know, I mean, it's like, here I am. What do you got?
Yeah. You know, you lucky people.
Yeah.
I've arrived. Where's my trophy? Yeah, I don't know. And the one thing we haven't discussed is the drugs mm-hmm. from your Lennon quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at this legalization of marijuana, I bet Lennon is thrilled out of his mind there from his little dirt nap.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're putting our entire society to sleep. You know, marijuana is called the anti-motivation drug in my circles.
Yep.
It makes people lazy. It makes them mm-hmm. not care.
Well, you don't notice that your life is going nowhere.
Well, you don't care.
You're all good. You're all good with it.
As long as you have money for munchies, you're happy.
Yeah, you're happy. I mean, life's all right. I could live like this the rest of my life. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But you're not fine.
Right.
Things are going to pass you by. People are going to pass you by, mm-hmm. and you're going to be stuck there.
Yeah.
And what was good today is not going to be good tomorrow. And you're absolutely right. It's a total demotivator.
Yeah.
And the scary part is the people who want to control them, this is exactly where you'd like everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a, hey, sure, less is more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the less is more drug. Yeah,
pretty soon.
Smoke weed every day.
They'll have free, you know, pot dispensaries.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, can you believe we're talking about that again in the city of Reading?
Well, January 1st, they have to figure out a way to supply it legally, you know, for everybody.
Although we have no standards, our pharmacist that has been on several times, Dr. Drum, and anybody who still thinks marijuana is great for you, please go back and listen to those couple of shows we did earlier this year with Dr. Philip Drum. But he did a very good job of explaining mm-hmm. that we have no standards for driving
right.
under the influence of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, alcohol, they can clip you down to point, you know, almost nothing,
mm-hmm.
And they can detect it. But the marijuana thing, we still haven't gotten serious about how we're going to regulate that part mm-hmm. of it. So my whole theory on the driving... Yeah, it's only good for about another 28 days, and then after that it goes to hell.
There was a guy on the radio the other day that was advocating the legalization of hard drugs, LSD, and mm-hmm. these drugs that, and he said, you know, for folks that think it's dangerous, you know, maybe what we need to do is legalize it and have like people
chaperones.
Yeah, exactly. Have a chaperone.
Oh, I was kidding.
No. You can go to a place. You can take this drug, and then there'll be people to keep an eye on you to make sure you don't walk out in the street.
Shepherds.
And
we've come full circle.
Yeah, but what you will get out of that is you will be enlightened. You will be enlightened by taking these drugs.
And so someone who still has brain cells can shepherd you while you enlighten yourself?
Yes.
Holy
yes.
You crap.
I don't need a designated driver.
Bob, do you have a song for that?
Yeah, it was insane that somebody could actually publicly take that position, and they were very serious about it.
Oh.
Yeah. So legalize everything, because it's really not that bad.
Because people will self-monitor, because we're really good at that.
Yeah, we are.
We're awesome at that, usually most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. So back to capitalism. We'll do a little two-minute thank you to capitalism here and recognize it for its great achievements in the world, because achievement does not come from weed.
No.
You heard it here first. You're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us, although we do play a lot of songs from the weed generation. Those are the only flashbacks we'll be having, however.
Space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong. Doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I give my loving all the
You know, I read somewhere that that's
you know,
the only song.
I always hated that song, but it's kind of funny now. I kind of like it more now.
I read somewhere that that's the only song they could ever find that used the word pompous.
Really?
Yeah.
Someone actually studied that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only song out there.
He was the guy who studied it. He was a toker, too.
There's something for everyone. That's the only thing marijuana did for us, was bring us kind of fun music back when, but now we should get rid of it. Oh, my gosh. But we digress. But it's true, though. I mean, the whole drug thing, you're looking at it on the street. I mean, we have people that are literally like Night of the Living Dead, just walking around. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest problem, I was talking to somebody yesterday who has been running a business largely out of their home, and they decided, you know what, let's get a storefront. That's a good way to do it. Yeah. And now they had to spend all of their money on fencing and security and cameras and all this stuff to keep people from either breaking in or, you know, using their front of their building for a bathroom. Yeah. Crazy, you know. And I don't think that just comes out of the blue. I think, you know, we're talking about legalizing all these different drugs and then magically that all takes over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't be just a coincidence. So, so what do we miss?
Do you guys know
or who, overlook, shall I say?
Do you guys know who Frederick Bastiat is? Frederick
no.
Bastiat. He wrote a small book called The Law.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote it in the midst of the French Revolution in like 1850s or something. And it's really a great read. You can get it online free through a PDF or some kind of format. I would just encourage people to read it because it's one of those books that just makes so much sense. Why are we so missing the boat? You know, it's that common. Mm-hmm. But the premise of his theme is when government does...
False alarm.
When government does what I as a citizen cannot do because it's illegal, mm-hmm. then government is illegal. Okay? So government is taking... If I take money from my neighbor because they have more than I do, and I decide I want to keep some of it or I want to give it to somebody else less fortunate, so I'm taking from this person, giving to this person in the name of compassion and benevolence, which is not about my money. It's about my neighbor's money. So it's right. neither compassion nor benevolence.
Yes.
So that's what government is doing. Government is taking away from people and giving it to other people, and it's against the law to do that. I mean, this gets back to some of our foundation thoughts of what is fairness, what is just. And a progressive income tax is not a just system of government. You know, how can you take from somebody, give it to another, and somehow feel like you're doing the Lord's work because the poor are so needy?
Yeah.
But it violates everything the Lord says about that. Now, where's the responsibility lie? Well, the responsibility lies with me. I'm going to go help my neighbor. I'm not going to take it away from somebody else. I'm going to go help them.
Right.
And I want to speak life into their life. I want to speak love into their life. And with that, on individual levels, there's accountability because I know you. I live in your neighborhood. I see what's going on. And when you're getting a check from Uncle Sam, there's no accountability and there's no effort to try to help you to become a better human being. I think all of us have a need to make other people better, to encourage them. I want them to help me become a better person. That, of course, is what counseling is all about. It's why we have a counseling center. We want to help people become happier. We want to get them into a more stable state. We don't condemn. We don't point fingers.
What about the blame game?
Well,
is that out?
The blame game is what's kept them in their spot.
Exactly.
Right.
Because they're not accepting responsibility, saying, I need to do something with my life. Instead, they're saying, I can't do anything with my life because it's somebody else's fault. So we have to love people. We have to encourage them. We want to help them to have psychological health. And, you know, the way you win the world is one soul at a time. Mm-hmm. Christ says, come to me, and my burden is light. I am here for you. And out of love, then, we are compelled to live a better life because we have a relationship with the lawgiver himself. It's still the best way to live.
And there you have it.
That's good advice.
And so instead of doing the New Year's program, we're prepping it now. So you can plan on doing this for next year.
Okay.
This is all good information for how to set things up for next year.
I was going to say we had it back a month early.
I know. We were ahead of schedule. I just wanted to let people know that I'm posting the link to the law that people can read, and it's actually quite short.
It is.
That'll be on the site for today. So you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. We will see you next week.
Can you link Higher Ground Counseling on there?
Oh, it's already on there.
Awesome.
Oh, it's the...
Would love for some people to call and let us help.
Counseling Center.
Yeah. And by the way, we accept Medi-Cal. We help those who are in the worst state. And
That's good to know.
It is, yeah. So if they want some help, I hope they call us. 941-9003.
Bonus.
Good
Thank
deal.
You so much for
guys,
being with
for
us.
Being
yeah,
on.
Thank you, guys.
We're coming back next week talking about national security with Claire Lopez. Just Claire, too, instead of the usual cast of characters. I think you will like it a lot. See you then.
All right. Thank you, Aaron, Bill, and Guy Asherman. This is KCNR Shasta, Reading.